I want you to turn with me, if you'd like to follow along, to Matthew 12, first book in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 12. And 2 weeks ago, we began a series of messages on the theme, living 24/6 in a 24/7 world. Our culture uses that terminology 24/7 a lot, which basically means to go nonstop. And many people have adopted that kind of life where just life just goes and goes and goes somewhat nonstop. But I want to remind you that God really didn't create us to function best living 24/7, but rather He created us to function best living 24/6, which really means we take one day a week and decide that day I'm not living 24/7. It's really about remembering the Sabbath. And I want to ask you again the questions I've asked you the last 2 weeks, just to think about your life. Does it seem like your life is just too busy? Does it seem like it's more complicated than it really ought to be? Do you ever feel like you're seldom fully rested? And if your answer to any of those questions was yes, it may be that God's wanting to lead you into more 24/6 living. Now, just a little bit of review. God gave the Ten Commandments to the Israelites in Exodus 20. And the fourth of the Ten Commandments is remember the Sabbath. And it starts with Exodus 20, 1 and 2, where God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And then right away goes into the Ten Commandments. And notice the context. He's really saying, I'm giving you some guidelines for living to help you to make your life fulfilling, productive. I'm giving you these guidelines to live by so that you don't fall back into the bondage you came out of. And then we jump down to verse 8, the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The only commandment there that has the word remember in it, because I think this is the easiest of the 10 to forget. And the word holy there, keep it holy, basically means to keep it different from what happens the other days. He goes on to say, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gate. So interesting that when it came to Sabbath, everybody was on the same ground. It didn't matter if you were young, old, male, female, rich, young, poor, everybody sort of was on the same ground when it came to the Sabbath. And it's even interesting that guests or visitors were expected to also participate. And it's really incredible that even the animals, you know, were to observe Sabbath. And then it goes on to say, for in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. And so the whole foundation of the Sabbath is God's Sabbath. After creating everything in 6 days, he rested. And he didn't rest because he was tired, but he rested because he was holy, and he set that example for us. And then as we move into the New Testament, we see that Jesus observed the Sabbath his entire life on the earth, but his focus was the spirit of the Sabbath more so than the letter of the Sabbath or the letter of the law. And we'll talk about what that means in just a few moments. But two verses really, I think, important in understanding how the Sabbath works under the new covenant. In Mark 2, 27 and 28, Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. And it's important we don't turn that around, because the Sabbath isn't something God created for you and I to come into some kind of bondage over, where like we exist to serve it, but it's the opposite. He gave it to serve us. He gave it to add benefit to our lives. And then Jesus said that the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. So really, bottom line, it's about what does he want for the Sabbath? And we seek that out and yield to that. And it may be different for each one of us. We saw that the early church continued to observe Sabbath. And then Paul taught something I think very important, and that is that we shouldn't judge one another regarding Sabbaths. In Colossians 2:16, he says, "So let no one judge you regarding Sabbaths." Some make a big deal out of it's got to be Saturday, or no, it's Sunday, or no, it's as long as you take one day in seven. And some say, well, you shouldn't do that on a Sabbath. This is what you should do. This is what you shouldn't do. But Paul said, don't judge each other in those things. And then he went on in Romans 14 to basically say that when it comes to Sabbath and other things like that, we're each to develop our own convictions and then walk those out without trying to push those convictions on others. Now, we should develop convictions with the guidance of Scripture, with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. But as we each develop those convictions and walk those out, again, Paul was really showing us, don't try to push those on everybody else. This is, in a way, a personal thing we each walk out in a unique way. So how can we pull off 24/6 in a 24/7 world? That's what we're going to be looking at today. And, you know, our culture has tried to basically steal the Sabbath or hijack it. And probably culture isn't going to easily hand it back to us. So if you and I decide we're going to figure this thing out, we're going to learn how to live this way, even though it'll be countercultural, realize it's going to take some intentionality on your part. You're probably going to have to realize that you will be marching to the beat of a different drummer. You'll be swimming upstream, and you will be living in ways that most of the people around you aren't living, and so it certainly will take some courage to walk this out. But I want to give you some things that hopefully will help you think through maybe some adjustments. And I realize that I'm speaking to a diverse group today, being some of you may be like, I walk this out, I'm comfortable with what goes on in my life and Sabbath, so I think I'm good. And then there may be others who feel like, well, you know, I've been kind of walking this out, but I haven't given it much thought lately. And you know, God's kind of dealing with me maybe to rethink a few things. Maybe there should be a few tweaks, and some of you are there. And others of you are like, wow, I've never really thought about it. I mean, I just kind of react to life and schedules and never really thought much about treating Sabbath any differently. So we all may be at different places. So here's a few things that I hope will be helpful. First of all, make Jesus the Lord of your Sabbath. We just read where he is Lord of the Sabbath, so a good starting point is that we each yield the Sabbath to him, seeking him for how he wants each of us personally or as families to walk that out. And then secondly, focus more on the spirit of the Sabbath than the letter of the law or the letter of the Sabbath. We mentioned that's what Jesus did, and let me just lay that out a little bit. When it came to the time in Jesus' life where he was on the earth, what had happened is the religious leaders had actually, I think, forgotten about the actual spirit of the Sabbath. You know, why did God give it? They weren't really focused on that and trying to figure out how do we walk that out today. Their whole thing was man sort of serving the Sabbath rather than the other way around. And so what they did is they came up with all these rules that weren't anywhere in the Bible. They weren't rules that God gave. And so mankind had all kinds of rules that what you should and shouldn't do if you were a good Sabbath keeper. Well, Jesus had a way of challenging those kinds of rules. And so Jesus and the religious leaders of his day, they were often butting heads because he didn't follow their rules. His focus was the spirit of the Sabbath. And we're going to look at one example. There's many of them. But Matthew 12, beginning with verse 9, it says, "Now when Jesus had departed from there, he went into the synagogue. And behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath that they might accuse him?" Now notice it's Sabbath, and where's Jesus? He's in church. Now here it was synagogue on a Saturday, but you know, kind of contextualize it today, and we would say basically it was Sunday and he was in church. So Jesus isn't like, you know, out there, you know, punching the clock, time clock, or, you know, he's not out going out of his way to see if he can find anybody who might need his help. The context is that basically he's in church, and in church he finds somebody who has a need. Now that's pretty common, isn't it? When we come together, you know, we're gonna have needs represented among us. And so, you know, pretty ordinary. You come together to worship God. That's a good thing to do on Sabbath. And when we are together, we will have a need, or somebody else in our church family will have a need. And so they ask Jesus if it's okay for him to heal on the Sabbath, or if that's violating the Sabbath because it's work. Now, can you imagine even thinking that question? You know, I mean, think about it. Before Jesus came, I mean, miraculous healing was not like a common thing. I mean, you just didn't see people healed miraculously very often up to that time. And so wouldn't you think that now Jesus has been healing people, wouldn't you think like people would, isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? Hey, you can go to church and not just find people to care for you, but you might even get healed. I mean, wouldn't you think everybody would be excited about that possibility? Who would even think in terms of, but wait a minute, wouldn't that be violating the Sabbath because Jesus would be working? I mean, really? First of all, I don't know how it all happened, but I don't think he worked up a sweat in healing anybody. You know, I don't think it was a hard thing for him to do. In fact, it probably didn't even take him all that long, you know, to see this person healed. So let's look at how Jesus reacted or responded to this whole legalistic emphasis on the Sabbath. So here was Jesus' answer, verse 11. Then he said to them, "What man is there among you who has one sheep, and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out?" So he's basically talking to people who like would have done that. So, you know, let's say there were people there who were shepherds, and one of their sheep accidentally falls into the pit on the Sabbath. The people he was talking to who were accusing him of working on the Sabbath by healing people, those same people, if one of their animals fell into a pit, they wouldn't say, "Well, it's the Sabbath, and that would be work getting the animal out. I'll wait till tomorrow." No, they were humane. They were like, "We don't want to see an animal suffer until tomorrow, and it might be dead by tomorrow. Maybe predators will have, you know, gotten in there or whatever." And so they did not see it as a violation of the Sabbath to help rescue an animal in need. And so Jesus is saying that to them, and then he follows it up with this. He's saying, "Of how much more value then is a man than a sheep?" I was thinking about this, and you know, with the evolutionary theory, in a way, what makes man any more valuable, you know, other than the survival of the fittest kind of an idea? But when we look at creation, God created mankind as his highest level of creation. He actually gave us authority over the animals. Now, he wants us to be, you know, obviously humane to animals and that kind of thing, but he gave us authority, and he gave us animals to use for our pleasure and food and whatever. But the point is that he's saying this: well, if you are rescuing a sheep that fell into a pit on the Sabbath, and a human being is more important than a sheep, then wouldn't it be okay to rescue a human being that's fallen into one of life's pits on the Sabbath? And that's basically his argument. And so he goes on to say, "Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it. I'm surprised they didn't say, "You can't stretch your hand out. That would be work on the Sabbath. You can't lift your hands when we're singing. That would be work on the Sabbath. And you certainly can't dance while we're singing. That would be," I mean, they didn't say that, but I think they were already too upset with Jesus. So he stretched it out. It was restored as the other. And the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him. So we see in that example that the spirit of the Sabbath is that helping a human in need is not a violation of the Sabbath. Now, again, Jesus wasn't going around seeing if he could find somebody who had a need. He was just worshiping with the people of God, and there was a need, and he reached out and did something about it. Now, what is the spirit of the Sabbath? When we think about, okay, if we're to kind of base our how we Sabbath on the spirit of the Sabbath, what is the spirit of the Sabbath? What is the Father's intention so that we don't fall into all of the rules and legalism and so forth? So let me give you what I'm going to refer to as the three R's grid, three R's to make it easier to remember. The first R is reverence. Remember, when God told them to observe the Sabbath, he put as the foundation of it himself, having Sabbath after 6 days of creation. And so while Sabbath is about rest, it is only about rest as it flows out of a reverence for God. And so when Israel was given this commandment to practice Sabbath, the whole point was you do this to show reverence for God. Or in other words, it's really about worship. So we honor Jesus as the Lord of the Sabbath, which we talked about earlier. And Sabbath then is not just resting, but it is also coming together and worshiping God with our church family. We saw that's what Jesus did. In fact, one scripture says that was his custom. And so a part of Sabbath is worship. We don't just, well, I'm going to worship at the lake or the woods or the mall or, you know, on the couch at home or whatever. But no, we're going to come together with our church family. In fact, Leviticus 23:3 says this, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. Now, we maybe don't use that word a lot, convocation. It's used in some kinds of settings, but do you know what a convocation is? It is a public gathering. So for the Israelites, they weren't just like, it's Sabbath, we're going to, you know, just lay around all day, but the Sabbath was a convocation. It was a public meeting. It was the people of God coming together and worshiping God together. Now, let me just say this. I'm going to be bringing in a few references from the Old Testament, but I do so with the understanding that we are not under the new covenant expected to follow exactly all of those specific guidelines. But I think when we look at them, it can be helpful to guide us, realizing there are principles here. There are reasons God said certain things that probably still have some level of application today. Sabbath it shouldn't be seen as like, well, it's just another day of vacation, one day a week. The Sabbath is really a balancing out of the active parts of our life and the holy parts of our life. The Sabbath, in part, is about taking time to worship God and to seek God. And I wonder, are there parts of God's character and ways he wants to speak to us that maybe won't happen apart from remembering the Sabbath? And then second word here is rest. So the first sort of grid to run through how we're going to Sabbath is, okay, there's reverence for God. And now a second part of that grid flowing out of that is rest. So we rest from what we would normally do the six other days. And we'll talk more about that. But there's a philosophy in our culture. We work hard and then we what? Play hard. And that's okay, but that's not Sabbath. Sabbath isn't we work hard and we play hard. Sabbath is we work hard and then we stop. Sabbath is we work hard and then we rest hard. There's a place for playing hard, but that's not what Sabbath is. Sabbath, it's not replacing one kind of busy activity, our work, with another kind of busy activity like recreation, and we're just as busy, just busy with something different. So my encouragement to you is don't fill your Sabbath so full that there's little time to actually rest and reflect. Sabbath is a life recalibration and reorientation. It's sort of like, you know, we go through the other 6 days on life's treadmill, and Sabbath is like, I'm getting off this treadmill today. And I'm going to kind of, you know, recalibrate, because life has a way of getting us off track, off of where we want to be. And so Sabbath is that time we sort of can, you know, reset and recalibrate and get back on track. Sabbath is a time to transition from being human doings to human beings. Sabbath is to life what rests are to music. We have some gifted musicians in our congregation, and they could tell you that rests in music are just as much a part of the music as are the notes. In fact, without rest, music would not be pleasant to listen to. It takes a balance of the notes and the rest to produce beautiful music. And so the question is, in the music of your life, are there adequate rests built in that your life is sending out a sweet music? Sabbath is slowing down enough just to take some time to reflect and to meditate. And then the last R is renewal. And renewal is more the results of the first two. If we are taking time to reverence or worship God, and then we're taking sufficient time to rest, the end result of that should be we are renewed. Exodus 31:17 says, in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth. Catch this. And on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Wow, God rested and was refreshed. And let me just say this. This is a very simple way to sort of evaluate your Sabbath. Assuming most Sabbath on Sunday and start your work week on Monday, here would be just a very simple thing. If you start Monday like really worn out, you probably need to rethink your Sabbath. On the other hand, if you start Monday like, I am ready to go, I feel good, let me at it, you probably had a pretty healthy Sabbath. Let's look at Sabbath preparation considerations. And I underline the word preparation because I think often we don't even think about like preparing for the Sabbath. I mean, we just like, it comes and we react to impose things on our schedules, and we react to life circumstances, and often maybe really don't think through, what are my convictions about Sabbath? What guidelines might I want to consider? Sometimes we never even, those things don't even cross our mind. And I want to suggest two levels of preparation. The first is more of a general sense of seeking God regarding what he wants your Sabbath to look like in general. So that's one level of preparation that I'm encouraging you, and I'm going to give you some things to maybe put on your list of okay, here's some things I want to think about and pray about and talk to my family about and make some decisions about. So that's one level of preparation. The other level of preparation is the preparation for each Sabbath. I mean, most of you would not, you know, suddenly decide, I am going to go on a vacation, and boom, get in the car and take off. You'd plan it. You'd take time off from work. You would figure out what things do I need to take care of. And there would be some level of preparation for something that, you know, that involved. And so, you know, what about the Sabbath? What about a little preparation, not only in general, but before a Sabbath? And so let me just give you some things to think about. And again, I hope you don't interpret it this way at all. I'm not telling you what to do or not do. I'm saying here are some areas to think about. And these areas aren't even all or nothing. It might be, okay, I'm going to take that area and I'm going to pull back a bit. It may not be 100% or 0%, but I'm going to make a little bit of adjustment. So here are some questions to consider. What things do you normally do on Sabbath that you could do another day or not at all? Think about it. What are some things that I would normally do on Sabbath that really wouldn't take that much to plan ahead and put it in another part of the week? Or maybe certain things I'm just, you know, not going to do at all. And let me give you some of the areas that I'm thinking about in terms of that you might consider. How about things like maintenance? kinds of things. Like, I mean, if you really planned it out, you probably could mow the lawn a different day. And I know nobody is tempted to mow the lawn today, so we're all good with that, right? But cleaning the house, doing laundry, auto maintenance, unless, you know, if your car breaks down today, that's probably like the sheep falling into the pit, right? You may have to, you know, not just leave it out there on the road or whatever. So yeah, there are things that happen. But just as a general principle, are there things I do that really it wouldn't be that much if I just thought a little bit ahead that I could easily get a lot of those things done different days of the week? And then miscellaneous things. You know, really wouldn't take much, just as a normal part of your habit, you know, come close to the weekend. Maybe I should make sure my car's already full of gas. Let's see, are we going to need any groceries in the house? We're going to need extra snacks for the Vikings game. I mean, you know, stuff like that. Like, you know, maybe we take care of that Friday or sometime Saturday. Let's see, were there any, you know, little things I needed to pick up at the store? You know, it wouldn't be that hard to think a little bit ahead and to take care of a lot of that stuff without even, you know, some kind of major adjustment. Nehemiah 10:31 says, if the peoples of the land brought wares or any grain to sell on the Sabbath day, we would not buy it from them on the Sabbath. And in chapter 13:15-22, what happened was the Israelites were getting too loose with the Sabbath, and they were getting too involved in commerce, and so Nehemiah is like, wait a minute, we got to regroup here. We got to recalibrate. It's gotten too common. We need to make some changes. And he brought a pretty strong correction there. And so they made some changes and backed off of commerce being something they did on the Sabbath like every other day. Let me give you some other areas to think about that they didn't have to think about. How about media? Things like phone, internet, texting, computer, television. Now, again, I'm not saying don't do any of these things, but I am saying these would be some great areas to think about. Becky and I have mentioned to you that because Sunday tends to be a work day for us, we generally have Monday as our Sabbath. And this may seem strange to some of you, but most of the time I do not have my cell phone on me during a Monday. I intentionally leave it in the bedroom. Now, if I go somewhere, I might bring it in case, you know, Becky calls me or whatever. But if you call me on Monday, I will not be answering the phone. Now, I will check if voicemails are left in case there's an emergency, but you are not allowed to have emergencies on a Monday, okay? So please wait till Tuesday, and we would be happy to deal with your emergency. No, we will deal with an emergency because that's a sheep falling into the pit, right? We will be there to help rescue you. But you know, some people, they check texts like 50 times, 100 times a day. I mean, what if you just decided, I'm not going to do that? Or I'm going to limit it only, you know, this much, or once an hour, or, you know, whatever it is. Or what about deciding, you know, I'm not going to check emails on that day, or, you know, whatever it is. Again, it doesn't have to be all or nothing, but these are things that maybe would be really good to think about and seek the Lord about. How about socializing? Let me just make a few comments there. I think the scripture would promote the idea of corporate worship being a priority. And I think that the Sabbath can be a good day to nurture relationships. It can be a good day to have time with family, maybe people in your church community. I think that's consistent with Sabbath, but here's something to consider. There's a difference between life-giving relationships and life-sucking relationships. You know the difference, don't you? Yes, some of you have some of those people in your life, right? So one of the things you may want to consider is when relationships are life-giving, those we make room for. When they're life-sucking, those I'm going to put on a different day, you know? So you may want to think through some of the areas of socializing. And then entertainment and recreation. Again, I'm not suggesting you shouldn't do anything. But again, it might be that you think through these things. It might be that you exercise some level of restraint. Eugene Peterson said this, "Sabbath is the uncluttered time and space in which we can distance ourselves from our own activities enough to see what God is doing." And this one here is a challenge, but Sabbath should be focused even more on, God, what's your agenda for me today than what's my agenda for myself? And here's a powerful passage in Isaiah 58 from the New Living Testament. It says, "Keep the Sabbath day holy. Don't pursue your own interests on that day, but enjoy the Sabbath and speak of it with delight as the Lord's holy day." Notice God wants the Sabbath to get to a place where you're actually looking forward to it. It's a delight. You're like, oh no, here comes the day. I'm going to just be bored and can't do anything. But he wants to get to a point where it's kind of like looking forward to a vacation or a day off, that's our orientation. He goes on to say, "Honor the Sabbath in everything you do on that day, and don't follow your own desires or talk idly." Talk idly. That's maybe part of that last thing we mentioned. And then he says, and catch this, "The Lord will be your delight." In other words, we're going to go deeper. And he's wanting us to get to a place where we are more satisfied in our walk with God. And then it says, "I will give you great honor and satisfy you with the inheritance I promised your ancestor Jacob. I, the Lord, have spoken." Notice there's things here God wants to do in our lives that happen as we remember the Sabbath. He's like, I want to give you great honor. I want to release inheritance to you that doesn't come any other way. And I want to satisfy you. I want to bring a deeper sense of fulfillment and contentment in your life. And so that's what he really wants to come out of it, not something where, you know, again, we just feel like, you know, our life is all, we can't do anything. So let me just give you three different grids that you can use as filters for your Sabbath. The first one we already mentioned, but I'll review it, the three R's grid. So reverence would be, okay, is what I'm going to do, is that going to draw me closer to God, or is it going to be a distraction? And rest, will this promote rest, or will it detract from that? Will this help me be renewed so that I'm ready for the coming week, or again, will it pull away from that? And then a second grid, I'm just going to call the common grid. Remember, the word holy or sanctified means set apart from what is common for what is uncommon. And so, again, one of the ways we can just, one of the grids is, well, would I do this every other day? Now, it's not that you can't do anything the same. I mean, you're going to still eat. You will still go to the bathroom on Sabbath, you know. So, I mean, there are things that you're going to do Sabbath that you do other days. But are there maybe a few less things we could do that we do other days? So it's not such a common day. And then a third grid, I'll call the Philippians 4, 8, and 9 grid, which says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous, praiseworthy, meditate on these things. These do, and the God of peace will be with you." So that might be a good grid. Is what I'm thinking of doing, will it gel with this verse, or does it seem kind of opposite of that? And basically the last thing that I just want to suggest, and again, this wouldn't have to be every Sabbath, but consider sticking close to home and enjoying your immediate surroundings. And again, doesn't mean that has to be every time, but maybe more often than not, or at least occasionally, especially if your life is like go, 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 then it might be really nice on Sabbath to not go, go, go. There are days that when we're Sabbathing, that we don't even leave the house, not because that's a conviction or we plan it. It's just a lot of times that, like, it feels good just to not have to go anywhere. I will confess to you, there are days we did not get out of our pajamas. So if your Sabbath is Sunday, that may not work real well Sunday mornings. Unless you have some really cool Vikings pajamas, then that might work. But in Exodus 16:29, It says, see, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place the seventh day. You probably heard this phrase, a Sabbath day's journey. I don't know how it all came about, but in Acts 1:12, they use that phrase, like you couldn't go more than a Sabbath day's journey. And it's estimated that a Sabbath day's journey was about 2/3 of a mile. And, you know, just at a leisurely pace, that's like about 12 minutes. So think about just for the sake of maybe a challenge, what about if at least some Sabbaths you stay within like a 12-minute radius of your home and walking? You know, sometimes I think we don't realize the treasures within a 12-minute walk of our homes. We take it for granted. And you know, it's kind of like when you go fishing. You can't fish where you put the boat in. You have to go the opposite side of the lake. It's just how it is, you know. And what are the people on the opposite side of the lake doing? They are coming to our side of the lake to fish. You know, there's just that something about the grass being greener. But maybe there's some holy ground right there. And your own home can be that maybe you have not considered. The 23rd Psalm is the most well-known and most often quoted psalm, and the word Sabbath isn't there, but if you read it thinking about the spirit of the Sabbath, wow, that's really describing the Sabbath. Let me just read the first three verses. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. You know, to do that, you got to stop, right? I mean, you can't keep going and lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. There's a restfulness about that terminology. He restores my soul and leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's Sabbath, restoring our soul. And he may have near you some green pastures, some still waters. Matthew Sleeth wrote this, and this is what we'll get ready to close with. He says, when we shut the lawnmowers off, or snowblowers, we find that the birds have been singing, and the Lord is known to use an even quieter voice. Stopping and staying in place yields the kind of stillness that allows us to hear and see what has always been there. Let the Lord form you where you are. Give him the space to blow the breath of life into you wherever he has grounded you. Would you stand with me? And in closing, maybe God's been dealing with you about 24/6 living. And again, it might not mean a huge adjustment for some of you. It might be just a little tweaking, or maybe you're good. For others, maybe, wow, I think God's maybe really dealing with me about some bigger changes than that. And I think this is an important statement here, and that is, like any skill, it'll probably take some practice and experimenting to get skillful at 24/6 living. If you haven't been living this way and you know, you try it next week or the rest of the day or whatever, you know, it may not be you suddenly feel 100% rested. It may be like, well, okay, that was a little awkward, or, well, that didn't work. I guess I need to rethink that. So think of it that way. Like any skill, you may have to experiment a little bit before you sort of get into the groove. Make Jesus Lord of the Sabbath. Focus again more on the spirit than the letter. And just think through that main grid of reverence, rest, and renewal. And I am challenging you to take some time today, later this week, and reflect on this whole theme. What is God saying to you? Think through some of those different areas we brought up. And this is what I'll leave you with. Don't try to impress God by what you do or don't do on the Sabbath, because you will not impress God. You can say, well, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do this. That's going to really impress God. No, that's not going to impress God. Think of it this way. The Sabbath is not about you and I impressing God. It's about you and I positioning ourselves where he can make an impression on us. So we're not trying to impress God. We're just trying to get in that place where he can make his impression on us. I'm going to close in prayer. And as I do, if the prayer teams that are serving today, you would come and get ready to minister. after the closing prayer. If any of you want prayer for anything, we have people up here that would be happy to pray with you. And what I want to pray in closing is just that God will help you walk this out and to find what rhythm will work best for your life, your family, so that you can benefit from the spirit of the Sabbath and be blessed in whatever way God wants for your life. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you do want us to experience rest and refreshing in a way that brings a greater sense of fulfillment in life. And Lord, I just pray that each one of us will have the wisdom and the direction from you to be able to take this subject and talk about it, think about it, pray about it, and to hear your voice in the midst of busy lives, to know how we could live 24/6 rather than 24/7 in a way that really benefits us and enables us the rest of the week to be more fruitful, to be more rested, and more productive. And so, Lord, I just pray that you will guide each of us and help us, Lord, as we walk this out, not to judge others who may arrive at different conclusions than we do, or not to try to push our convictions on others, but just to give each one the room to walk this out with you. And so may we encourage each other in our walk. And I just pray that throughout the rest of this day, it will be a day where people feel refreshed and enjoy their families and experience renewal. And I thank you, God, that people came here today to worship you along with their church family. And I thank you for that. And so I just declare blessing, blessing, blessing over every household. And may our homes or wherever we live be places of holy ground and rest and refreshing. In Jesus' name, I pray all of these things. Amen. Amen. God bless you again. Come if you'd like prayer.